Kyoto Innovations Podcast for Sunday, June 4th, 2006, coming to you from Sunnyvale, California. Welcome to the Killer Innovations Podcast. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. Before we get started, please keep in mind that the information and opinions expressed in this podcast are mine and mine alone, and do not necessarily reflect those of my past, current, or future employers. In this episode of the podcast, we're going to discuss, first, observation skills and how they're influenced by your personal perspective. Next, how to use contradictions to find opportunities for innovation. And last but not least, the killer question of the week. Now sit back, relax, get out your notebook, and enjoy this episode of the Killer Innovations Podcast. I was recently reading Twyla Tharp's book, The Creative Habit, and came across an exercise that she recommends. I found it so revealing that I wanted to share it with you, the listeners. It's about observation. As Yogi Berra says, you can observe a lot by watching. So in this case, this is an exercise for you to actually do. So, go outside and observe a street scene. Pick out a man and a woman that are together and write down everything they do until you get to 20 items. The man may touch the woman's arm, write it down. She may run her hand through her hair, write it down. She may shake her head. He may lean in towards her. She may pull away or lean in towards him. She may put her hands in her pockets or search for something in her purse. He may turn his head to watch another woman walk by. Write it all down. It shouldn't take you very long to acquire 20 items. Now, if you study the list, it shouldn't be hard to apply your imagination to it and come up with a story about the couple. Are they friends? Are they would-be lovers? Are they brother and sister, work colleagues, neighbors who ran into each other on the street? Are they fighting or breaking up or falling in love or planning a weekend together or debating which movie they want to see? The details on your list provide plenty of material for a short story, but that's not the goal of this exercise. Now that you've completed the first step, let's do the second step. Go out, now do it again. Pick out another couple. This time, note only the things that happen between them that you find interesting, that please you either aesthetically or emotionally or any other sense. I guarantee that it'll take you a lot longer to compile a list of 20 items this way. You might need all day. That's what happens when you apply judgment to your powers of observation. You become selective. You edit. You filter the world through your particular prism. Now, study the two lists. What appealed to you in the second, more selective list? Was it the moments of friction between the couple, or the moments of tenderness? Was it the physical gestures or their gazes away from each other? The varying distance between them, the way they shifted their feet or leaned up against the wall or took off their glasses or even scratched their chins. What caught your fancy is not as important as the difference between the two lists. What you included and what you left out speaks volumes about how you see the world. If you do this exercise enough times, patterns will emerge. The world will not be revealed to you. You will be revealed. Problems, or in my view, opportunities for innovation, are defined by contradictions. That is, if there are no contradictions, there are no problems, and thus, no or limited opportunity for innovation. Now, this radical-sounding statement forms the basis of TRIZ. So what is TRIZ? TRIZ was developed by Gingrich Altschuler and his colleagues in the former USSR. Now, the English translation, it's an acronym, the English translation is Theory of Inventive Problem Solving. Now, Gingrich and his team started in 1946 and has now been expanded upon, developed, and practiced throughout the world. Tris' research began with the hypothesis that there are universal principles of invention that are the basis of creative innovations that advance technology, and that if these principles could be identified and written down and shared, they could be taught to people to make the process of invention more predictable. The research has proceeded in several stages over the last 50 years, and over 2 million patents have been examined, classified by level of inventiveness, and analyzed to look for principles of innovation. Now, the results of all of this research is that they've identified three primary findings or three primary principles of TRIZ. One, problems and solutions were repeated across industries and sciences. They weren't unique to one specific technology. Patterns of technical evolution were repeated across industries and sciences. So it wasn't just that technology was unique, but that you could see consistent evolution that occurred, and that evolution was consistent across a wide range of industries and sciences. And third, innovations used scientific effects outside the field where they were developed. And if you look at the real breakthrough innovations, and we've talked about this in the podcast in the past, is by looking outside of your field of industry, those tend to have the most significant impact. And so therefore, being able to look across industries, irrespective of technologies, can have a huge insight into being more innovative. Now, in the application of TRIZ, all three of these findings are applied to create and to improve products, services, and systems. Now, TRIZ works. Now, TRIZ is just one of many skills and tools that are out there, but TRIZ works. Large and small companies are using TRIZ on many levels to solve real, practical, everyday problems and develop strategies for the future of technology. TRIZ is in use at Ford, Motorola, Procter & Gamble, Eli Lilly, 3M, Siemens, Philips, LG, Bell Canada, and many more. Now, recently, there was a thread on the Killer Innovations community site started by Seth Taylor around brainstorming ideas for automotive safety. Now, to give you a more tangible application of this TRIZ concept of looking for contradictions, now, I dug up an automotive safety example around airbags based on this fundamental concepts around TRIZ, hopefully to give you two things. One, the understanding of contradictions and how they can lead to innovations. And two, just to give you a brief sampling of TRIZ so you can understand a little bit of the background. And in future podcasts, I plan on going into more detail about TRIZ and how you can apply it to your business. So, for some background, generally, there are two kinds of contradictions defined within TRIZ, physical and technical. Now, these labels are really artifacts of the early translations of the TRIZ documents, and they should be thought of as reference labels, as neither one of these is less physical than the other. So, first off, let's talk about technical contradictions. Technical contradictions are the classical trade-offs. The desired state can't be reached because something else in the system prevents it. In other words, when something gets better, something else gets worse. Classical examples include, first, the product gets stronger, which is a good thing, but then the weight increases. That's a bad thing. In the case of telecommunications, the bandwidth increases, which is good, but it requires more power, which is bad. Now, in the case of an automotive example, they're fairly easy to construct. Some examples are the vehicle has higher horsepower, but it uses more fuel. The vehicle has higher acceleration, but it also uses more fuel. The ride feels smoother, but the handling is difficult on high-speed curves. A pickup truck has a high load capacity, and as a result, it has kind of a stiff rear suspension, but the ride is rough. Putting controls on the steering wheel column increases the driver convenience, but makes assembly of the steering column more complex. Electric vehicles can go long distances between recharging, but the battery weight gets too high for the vehicle to be able to even move. Now, in the case of airbags or automotive safety, the airbag examples of technical contributions are found in the technology and its social problems that surround the passenger protection systems. And this has been a trade-off problem or contradiction problem that the industry has been facing for quite some time. Some examples. If the threshold for deployment of the airbag is set low, protecting belted occupants, more unbelted small people in the passenger seats are injured, meaning that the bag will falsely deploy. So if you set the threshold too low and you happen to bump into the wall and the bag is deployed, people may not be in their seatbelts, they may be getting ready to park the car, the bag deploys, people will get hurt. If the threshold for deployment is set high, unbelted passengers are protected from airbag-caused injury, but belted passengers suffer more injury from the collision because it's set at a higher speed, meaning more damage is going to occur to the vehicle. High power or aggressive deployment, meaning the faster deployment of the bag, how fast the airbag inflates, saves lives of the average-sized drivers, but it increases the injuries to the unbelted or small passengers, such as children. Adding more sensors and therefore more CPU processing power to customize the deployment to the circumstances, such as the size and weight of passengers, saves lives of small, unbelted people, but increases the complexity of the system. Another example is adding more sensors to customize the deployment to the circumstances, again, size, weight of passengers, can save lives of small, unbelted people, but it decreases the reliability of the system. You run the risk of adding more complexity, hitting a wall, having the system fail, and not deploy the airbag. So in this case, these are examples of technical contradictions. So examples of technical contradictions can be constructed for every system, subsystem, and component of the automobile, the airbag, and in fact, the entire highway transportation system. So what are some examples of physical contradictions? Physical contradictions are situations where one object has contradictory opposite requirements. Everyday examples, you run into them all the time. You know, aircraft should be streamlined to fly fast, but they should have protrusions, in this case, landing gear, to maneuver on the ground. Aircraft should fly fast to get to the destination, but should fly slowly for minimum change in velocity in landing. Surveillance aircraft should fly fast to get to the destination, but then should fly slowly to collect data directly over the target for long periods of time. Software should be easy to use, but should have many complex features and options to allow the user to choose how they want to use the software. All of these being physical contradictions. In the case of the automotive industry, examples come from both design, production, and implementation. So in the case of automotive, highways should be wide for easy traffic flow, but narrow for low impact on communities. Braking should be instantaneous to avoid road hazards, but braking should be gradual in order to maintain control of the vehicle. Refueling should be sealed, but should be open. Sealed to prevent any risk of fire, open to make it easy for someone to actually put fuel into the vehicle. Upholstery should be luxurious, but easy to maintain. The frame should be heavy for structural safety, but the frame should be light for cost and ease of assembly. Manufacturing should be done in small lots for flexibility, but manufacturing should be done on large lots for low cost. In the case of the airbag example, examples are found throughout the systems and, again, the subsystems. The deployment threshold should be high and low. The airbag should be aggressive and depowered, meaning fast exhaust of the gas to fill the bag and fast getting it out of the bag in order to deflate the bag to reduce the risk of it injuring smaller people. Their airbag should protect everyone and harm no one. The gas should be generated quickly and slowly. The sensor should be complex and simple. And the airbag should exist and should not exist, depending on the situation. As in the case of the airbag deployment threshold, many problems can be stated as both physical and technical contradictions. In general, the most comprehensive solutions come from using physical contradictions, and the most prescriptive solutions, the solutions that ultimately solve a broader system, come from using technical contradictions. In terms of what you find, people usually solve around technical contradictions first, since the result is very concrete. Once you have taken the time to look broader at the contradictions, solving physical contradictions could help you find innovations that would normally be overlooked. We tend to look at the technical because it's easy, it's tangible. It's about solving, for instance, adding more complexity to the sensor in order to have the airbags deploy based on whether the person is a certain weight sitting in a car seat. But if you look at the physical contradictions, those are the ones that tend to be much harder to uncover and therefore have the potential for breakthrough innovations. To be truly innovative, you need to learn to use both methods interchangeably depending on the problem. The results could be game-changing. This week's killer question is about finding contradictions. When you are faced with a problem looking for an innovative solution, ask yourself, what are the physical and technical contradictions for the current product or service? What are the physical and technical contradictions for the current product or service? Remember, physical contradictions can be evidence of a technical contradiction that hasn't been identified. One way to resolve a physical contradiction is to convert it to a technical contradiction. The conversion may be obvious or subtle. The most useful technique to separate the elements of the contradiction is to ask why. So, for example, with the high-low airbag deployment threshold contradiction, I want it high because I want to have it, if the car occurs at a high speed, I want the bag to deploy. I want the bag to deploy at low speed because I want to be able to protect the people, but at the same time, I don't want it to be falsely triggered. So the question is why must it be high? To avoid deployment in low-speed accidents and to prevent airbag-caused injuries, a false deployment. Well, then why must it be low? To protect people in accidents at any speed. This leads us to the technical contradiction, which is as the speed of the car increases, injuries to occupants become worse. So if I have a false deployment at a low speed, I'm going to cause an airbag potential accident. Now, that may not be nearly as bad as if I have an accident at a very high speed as I'm driving. Now, you may think this sounds fairly obvious. Well, of course, as the speed of the car increases, injuries to occupants become worse. The key here, though, is that we tend to come to obvious answers and we don't ask ourselves the next question. So this is not circular logic. It focuses on the root cause of the problem, which is protection of people in automobile accidents. And it makes it very clear that changing the deployment threshold is only a band-aid solution to the problem of harm done by airbags. This is why resolving the physical contradiction is regarded as being a more general solution than resolving the technical contradiction. So this week's killer question is, what are the contradictions for your product or service? Then brainstorm ideas on how to address the contradictions. And don't just solve the technical contradictions. They tend to be the easy ones. Go after the harder physical contradictions, and you could uncover the next killer innovation. This week's closing thoughts comes from Alfred Monopert around the human desire to make progress. If you weren't interested in improving your creativity and innovation skills, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. We all want to make progress. We all want to improve. Taking action is required, else it's nothing but a dream. But Alfred's quote says it best. Don't confuse motion and progress. A rocking horse keeps moving, but does not make any progress. Are you on a rocking horse, or are you making real progress against your dreams? Thanks for listening to the podcast. Without your feedback and encouragement, there would be no podcast. So please send your feedback to podcast@killerinnovations.com. Now, for the regular listeners, you'll notice that the format and structure of this podcast is new. Based on feedback and comments from the listeners, I've taken this recent downtime to rethink the structure and format of the podcast to better meet the needs of you, the listener. I would really appreciate any feedback and suggestions on the format. Do you find it better? Do you like it? What would you like to see? What don't you like? So please drop me a note and let me know what you think of this week's format. So again, send your feedback to podcast@killerinnovations.com. It's the first of the month, so please remember to vote for the Killer Innovations podcast. Voting on Podcast Alley is the easiest way to say thanks to the producers of your favorite podcast. To vote, visit killerinnovations.com and enter your email address under the vote section of the website. Podcast Alley will send you an email, which you will need to click on the URL to confirm your vote. We have released a new feature on the killerinnovations.com site. We are now reblogging articles on innovation, creativity, design. The site is updated daily with the latest and greatest writings on the broadest topics covered by the Killer Innovations podcast. Try it out. Visit killerinnovations.com and click on the reblog button on the right. Before we close out this episode, we're also going to try out a new approach to the music that is played. Rather than playing the same tune each week, some readers have suggested changing it up each week. I think people got tired of listening to the exact same background noise. As an experiment, Magnatunes.com is providing the music for use in the podcast free of charge. In the case of this episode, this week's music is Ambient Technologies' Put Out the Flames from their album Phoenix. I will have a link to the artist in the show notes, and we'll play the entire song at the end of the podcast, so don't exit out here too soon. Let me know if you like the idea of changing the music for the podcast. And if you are a musician and would like to have your music played on the podcast, send it to me at podcast@killerinnovations.com. And with that, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.